Yes, here we go again. NRL Live episode 54, round 18 is in the book. Look at all the results and, of course, wrap up Supercoach from last week. Also, this week in league, Benji Marshall out. The West Tigers just went wrong. We'll talk about that. Plus, our top eight predictions of the top and bottom four seemingly set. We look at those middle eight teams to predict which four will get in, which four will miss out. Round 19 is just around the corner too, with the our Supercoach information for your best predictions and all the teams and all our picks of who's going to win as well. And Tigers MS has got a great world of sport for us. Speaking of Tigers MS, how are you, mate?
Very good. How are you?
Good. And Pete's with us, of course, also. How are you, Pete?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Paul. How are you?
Very good indeed, and we may as well get straight into the program and looking at last week's results. Well, just the four games on last week, of course, with the split round Origin being played this Wednesday. Cronulla 19 defeated the Broncos 18 on Friday night. Todd Carney, really the difference there. Saturday afternoon or late afternoon football, Panthers 17 defeated the Eels 10. Sunday, the Dogs smashing a depleted Storm outfit 39-0, while Monday night football continued the woes of the North Queensland Cowboys. They went down to Manly, up in Townsville 34-14. Let's look at last week's games from a Supercoach perspective. Well, Mr. Extreme, Tim Lafay, he topped the points with 118. Ben Barber, also back into form. He got 105 fourth overall, as predicted last week. Well, I can give ourselves a bit of a pat on the back, I guess. Almost a perfect round by the NRL Live team last week. Todd Carney, as predicted, with the Broncos. Well, of course, they were giving up most points to 5-8, and he ended up with second overall with 112 points. In the same game, Tigers MS picked Josh Maguire. He netted 108 points and third overall. The bye of the week was Chris Ninu. He let no one down. He scored 99 and was fifth overall, while Kevin King and George Tafua, Brett Stewart, Josh Hoffman and David Simmons were all mentioned last week and all finished in the top 12. So realistically, listen to the show. We'll let you know the inside information and the guys do this. Look, if we could do this every week, Tigers MS would be making a fair bit of cash, I guess.
Yeah, it'd be great.
The Storm's continuance to give up big points to centres and wingers proved itself with Lafay, Inu, Mitch Brown and Sam Perrott all scoring in the top 13 of the round. Realistically, there were no sleepers this week because we picked them all. What we learn, listen to NRL Live each week. The stats are bearing themselves out, particularly in relation to position. Hot and cold, our brand new segment. Well, with most teams on a bye last week, let's look at the Sharks, Eagles and Panthers players who did play last week and back up again this week. Brett Stewart, Kevin Kingston, George Tafua, Jamie Lyon, David Simmons and Tom Carney are in a rich vein of form at the moment. They should all be safely played this week. Tafua is the third hottest player right now on our barometer behind State of Origin winger James McManus and West Tigers centre and winger Joel Reddy. Carney 6th, Lyon 7th and Stewart 11th. Gone cold, well, Dragons half, Nathan Fien. Since Jamie Soward left the Dragons, Fien's averaging 24 points lower than his season average, and Sonny Bill Williams suffered from his hamstring injury. He's now over 22 points lower than his season average in the last month. Let's keep moving along to this week in league, and well, Tigers MS, you're pretty close to the West Tigers, of course, involved with the podcast last year with myself. Just what happened at West Tigers land to force Benji to seek a release?
Look, I reckon it's a number of things. First off, it's he had an agreement with Stephen Humphreys, who was CEO, who's now gone. He had a handshake agreement, I should say, that he would get the 2017 extension plus the top up of the cash. He was, by all reports, he was under the impression that that had been done and dusted. Mm. Yeah, obviously it hadn't. And, yeah, we're in that, they're in the situation now where he's asked for the release. To be honest, I think it's a number of things with that issue that I mentioned just before. But also, I think Benji finds it hard with Mick Potter. Mick Potter has really put his stamp on the team, and he's just said, okay, well, I don't care if you're Benji Marshall. If you've broken the team discipline rules, then you're going to sit out. If, you know, you're going to start the game on the bench or whatever else. Martin Tauber, Benji's manager, came out and tried blaming the NRL and the Tigers. The Tigers put together a fairly decent offer by reports as well. wasn't what they wanted, and I think it's a stumbling block where the player wants what he wants and the club doesn't want to give him that. I mean, as it is, if he doesn't want to, if he thinks he's done at the Tigers, then I think the Tigers will just have to go, okay, well, you know, thanks for your service and see you later. It's sad that he's not going to play rugby league for the entirety of his career because he has done a hell of a lot for the game in terms of marketing and everything else. And he's changed the way a lot of the younger kids play in terms of, well, what you can do with the ball and, you know, playing with a free spirit and that kind of thing. End of the day, though, if he wants to go, he goes. And, yeah, rugby league and the Tigers move on.
Pete, I'd be interested from your perspective, being a neutral observer, you know, how this sort of played out. How does it look?
It is a great shame for rugby league to lose a player like Benji Marshall. It was disappointing when, you know, players like Sonny Bill Williams, Anthony Mundine and others who have been, you know, very good for the game, very entertaining to watch and so on, have gone. We got Sonny Bill back, which is great. But, I'm really, really puzzled by what's gone on there at the Tigers. For me, he was one of the linchpins of the team, although it sounds like he might have had a little bit to do with the removal of Tim Sheens last year. This thing of player power in the game in the last few years is a bit of a concern, I think. And if Mick Potter, at the end of the day, it's in his first year in the toughest rugby league comp in the world, and he's allowed to put whatever stamp on the team he likes. They've told him, you know, you're the coach of the team. Mick Potter's there as much as anybody wants to see success to the Tigers. And that's starting to, I think, bear fruit to a certain extent. They've had a very rough start to the season, but some of the young guys are really starting to come on. The good news out of this is that they will be able to keep a lot of those up-and-coming stars. Their National Youth Cup team won the comp last year, and some of those players, a few more of those, will be able to be signed up in the absence of Benji. Benji's form has also been pretty poor this year, up until maybe just the last few weeks. His defence in several games was just not up to first grade standard, and he was benched there for a while. So obviously, I don't know whether there was, you know, issues between he and Potter, but as I said, Benji's form was not the best either. So, well, it's disappointing for the game to lose him. The game will, as Ryan said, will move on. The game is bigger than one individual player. And you'll see some more rising stars come through the ranks of the West Tigers, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Benji Marshall, you know, without a doubt, had a free reign under Tim Sheens that it doesn't look like he's enjoying under Mick Potter. The rumours are that Sheens, that Marshall perhaps was involved, or at least was implicit, I guess, or complicit in the removal of Tim Sheens. He certainly didn't stand up for his coach. And it may have cost him in the end, because there is a definite difference with the way that Benji Marshall plays the game and the way Mick Potter wants to coach his team. And Benji Marshall's cut down a lot of his errors this year, but he isn't creating those tries and making those breaks. He actually looks like he's lost a step in attack. Hopefully for him, whatever his next move is, if it is with either the Waratahs or the Auckland Blues, he finds it, because without it, a guy like him can really step back a bit, almost like that out-and-out quick bowler in cricket, like a Brett Lee. Once they lose that pace, there's not a lot left, whereas a Dennis Lee or someone with a bit more guile can continue on. You notice a difference perhaps with an ageing Benji Marshall as opposed to a Darren Lockyer or a Jonathan Thurston, who continue to deliver that high performance. Benji, he's got to adapt and change his game. Obviously now he's going to be doing it in the world of rugby union, it seems, not in the league. But on the flip side, the Tigers, again, there's going to come up issues. The Tim Maltzen, basically they let him go and then they signed him back, and St. George were left on the raw end of the stick then. The Tim Sheens debacle last year, now this, and obviously Stephen Humphreys resigning, but perhaps pushed. Again, all the different factions involved, it's hard to know exactly who's pulling the strings at the West Tigers. And if they cannot come together under one entity, this club will not continue to exist. We saw it with the Northern Eagles. we will see it with the West Tigers. People don't believe it, but we will see it. This could be another nail in the coffin. Let's hope it isn't. Let's hope it's an opportunity to go back to the drawing board, to like Pete said, take away a bit of that player power, look at the youth, and hopefully some of these new players like Curtis Siren and like Luke Brooks, like some of the other youngsters who are exciting at the moment, David Nofalama, Tim Simona, you know, these guys hopefully can come in, make a difference. James Tedesco is another one, and give the fans and the newer fans and the younger fans different and exciting role models, just like Benji Marshall was over a number of years, a very loyal servant to the West Tigers. Let's not forget that either, even though his form of late certainly not that of his earlier years. We need to keep moving along. Look, we've got an interesting segment right now, and that's involving the top eight. We're already saying that the Rabbits, the Roosters, Storm and the Eagles have got there, and we're ruling out the Broncos, Cowboys, Dragons and Eels. Pretty much mathematically impossible for them to make it. But who will, which of the remaining eight teams, will make the finals? Tigers MS and Pete are going to give us their opinions, and I'll start with the Cronulla Sharks. Tigers MS, will they make the eight or will they miss
the Sharks?
Out?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They will be in there, you know, without a shadow of a doubt. I would say they're a chance to... They'll probably be battling with Manly for that top four spot. For that fourth spot, sorry.
Right. Well, look, I think you're right about the Sharks. They are sort of in a doing well at the moment, but I'm actually going to go the other way. I'm going to say they're going to just miss the eight. So they've got to, there's no doubt that they've got the team to get there, and if they can stay healthy, they will get there. But I'm just wondering if that some of their games, they're tough games. They've got, of course, the Roosters this week, the Panthers, who they're battling with for a top eight berth the week after. You know, Paul Gallen's been injured. Can he come back? They've got to go over to the Warriors in round 21. It's a pretty tough run home for the Sharks. They're going to need to beat teams that are competing with them to make it. The Knights in round 22 is another. And the Roosters again in round 24. So it doesn't get easier later down the stretch for them. Pete, can the Sharks get there?
I believe the Sharks will make it. They may not finish as high as their current position, but they one thing to remember is they do have an exceptionally good or very good home ground record. It's very tough for away teams to win down there at Cronulla. They have some very good class players. They're obviously missing Gallen at the moment, but you can have you know, Todd Carney in your side. You know, he's, as he showed against the Broncos the other day, class player and a decent forward pack without Gallen, and I think they will definitely make the eight.
Wade Graham also may be out for an extended period. He was injured last week. One thing I'll say finally on the Sharks, guys. Round 26 could all come down to pretty much a rematch of the first week of the finals last year in Canberra. Canberra Raiders hosting Cronulla. Round 26 could be a big match. The next team on our list, are they going to get there? Are they not? Are the Newcastle Knights? Pete, we'll go back to you. How do you think the Knights are going to go?
For mine, the Newcastle Knights have been way too inconsistent this year. They've won their last two, round 16, round 17. But for mine, I don't think they really have the class. They're an aging team with not a lot of speed, in my opinion. They have been missing Kirk Gidley big time. I'm not sure when he's due back. He may not be too far away, but I was looking at their draw also, and they have quite a tough draw on the way home. And I think that they will miss out. It will be close. They may finish about ninth, but I think they will miss out.
Tigers MS, what about you?
Yeah, look, they're one of those ones who I thought would probably be eighth. And that's provided that they can show a little bit of that consistency that Peter said it has been missing. I'm going to say, yes, they will finish in the eight, but they will finish eighth and they'll be hanging on by a whisker.
Yeah, look, I do agree with Pete. They've got a tough run in. And like the Sharks, they're going to have to beat teams that they're competing with to get there. gee, I tell you what, it's going to come down to the wire. I think the Knights are going to make it. I think they're going to get in. I'm just looking at some of their games that they have to still play. And I guess it all starts sort of over the next sort of few weeks. But for them, they've got the Panthers. They've got to go to Penrith. They've got the Roosters at home. And then they've got the Broncos at home. Now, if they can win two of those three, I think they're setting themselves up pretty well. Obviously, they've got to go to Cronulla round 22. As Pete mentioned earlier, Cronulla is a tough team to beat at home. But that could be a big game for them. They've still also got to play Storm at home, the Cowboys away, also the Broncos away, and the Eels at home. So not the worst draw going in with the final few rounds, but perhaps the fact that they're not at home for some of those last games could end up proving costly for them. The next team on our list, the Bulldogs. Tigers MS, how do you think the Bulldogs are going to go?
Yeah, look, I think the Bulldogs, they're sitting eighth at the moment, but I think with their experience that they've got from last year, not to mention the draw coming that they've got coming up, I think that they're going to rise up and be in the top half, if you will, of the bottom four. So I think they're going to finish fifth or sixth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're in that logjam of teams, aren't they, on 20 points, but they've certainly got the opportunity to get into the top eight. They've got that experience there. Look, I think they can do it. I think, like the Knights, I think they're going to come home strongly and possibly end up with the sixth or seventh spot there. Just looking again at their draw, fairly favourable to buy this week. Obviously, it comes at a good time for them. And then they've got the Eels at home, so you'd think that that'll be a pretty easy win for them. The Dragons are away, but St George have been pretty poor this year, so a couple of easier games for them. And then a big one, I guess, in round 22, the Titans, which is at ANZ Stadium. So the Bulldogs could conceivably come up with 8 points in the next 4 weeks, and that could be enough to pencil them in. Pete, how do you see the Bulldogs going?
Absolutely. I believe, as both of you have said, quite a good draw there for the Bulldogs, and last year's experience, I think, will hold them in good stead. They also, this team, seem to be able to win the close games, and that is a very important factor. The big game experience there, particularly their forward, a very good, solid forward pack, Guile-type players like Michael Ennis, I think that they will make the eight. They're certainly not the force of last year, but they'll be there.
Canberra Raiders, Pete, they've been good at home but pretty poor away. Is that going to be enough for them to get into the eight this year?
I think they will make it, actually. They're sitting at equal eight with the Bulldogs and the Titans at the moment. And the Knights, they're all equal on 20 points, actually. There's from 6th through to 10. Canberra have an amazing home record. And so that's going to get you half your games, and you only need to win half your games to make the eight, really, one or maybe plus one or two. The Raiders have got the talent, and I think that they will pick it up later this year, as they've done in past years. I believe that they will make the eight. Pretty much based on their home ground record. It has been a big loss for them without Blake Ferguson, though. I think he really adds a lot to them, so they need him back. I'm not sure when he's going to be back, but that would be certainly a big plus for them if he's able to come back and play at his best in the next few weeks.
Tigers a mess. Can the Raiders get there?
No, they can't. They're way too inconsistent. They can't win away from home, and they have a horrible for and against differential at the moment. So unless they're going to thrash some teams at home and somehow find a way to win on the road, then I don't think they'll have the ability to get there.
Wow. Well, I'm going to contradict you, and I'll tell you why. They only play three more away games this year, and one of them is their hoodoo team, the Dragons, who they beat regularly. So if they can just win all their games at home, they'll get there. Now, I agree with Tigers MS that they have been way too inconsistent, and I agree with Pete that they missed Blake Ferguson. But they got the Eels at home. The Storm won't be easy, obviously, but they do play well against them and did beat them earlier this year. And then they play after they go away to the Roosters, they play the Dogs and then the Sea Eagles, two games in a row at home, the Warriors away, and then back at home for the Sharks, as I mentioned earlier, in round 26. So I think, considering their home ground, how they play at home anyway, and I think they'll get there. To keep moving along, there's still some teams that might get there, for at least some of us. The Warriors, Pete, I know they're a team that you've been following closely this year. Can they make a run and get into the eight?
I'll tell you what a turnaround, guys, after that shellacking from Penrith there about 6 weeks ago. They won all those games in a row and then put in an extremely commendable performance against South Sydney last time out, and I thought they were actually going to win for a long time. This team have the talent to get there, which a couple of the other teams in that on those points don't have. I believe they're a far more talented team, for example, than Newcastle and Penrith. And I think that they're still on the way up. I think that it will be a little hiccup for them, the game against South, but I believe that they'll be able to make the eight. And like Canberra, Auckland is a tough ground to go to for away teams. So I think that will be a major factor in their favour. Shaun Johnson also playing very well again.
Yeah, I mean, here's my definition of inconsistent, I guess. We talked about the Raiders. The West Tigers... play the Warriors this week at Leichhardt Oval. This is a pivotal game for the Warriors if they want to make the eight. It's going to be tough for them. They don't generally play well at Leichhardt Oval. They need to find a way to win that game. Then they host the Storm, who are coming off a bye, who got smashed last week. Those two games could easily be two losses for the Warriors, and suddenly they're looking down the barrel. They've got the Sharks at home, which is probably a toss of the coin job. The Seagulls at Brookvale. And the Panthers at home. Again, the Panthers are no easy beats this year. Finally, the Titans away. The Raiders at home. And the Dragons away. There's no gimmies there. I just think that the inconsistency of New Zealand will end up costing them. But Peter's right. You are right when you say they have... And it's an amazing turnaround. And, you know, there are good things happening across the Tasman there. I think at the moment, I just don't think it's this year. Tigers MS, what about you? What are your thoughts?
Look, I think out of all the teams that are currently not in the eight, the Warriors have the best chance of making it there. I don't think they will. They've gone on a good run and they're playing well at the moment. But they're so, like, once something dents their confidence, then... things like the Penrith game happens.
Yeah.
And teams can get on top of them real early. And grind them in. They just seem to, for want of a better word, but give up. If they continue on their run and continue with their consistency, then hell yes, they'll come into the finals and they'll be able to do something in there. But I can't see it happening, so I don't think they're going to make it.
Another team log-jammed in that group, 20 points, is the Panthers. Tigers MS, how are they situated to make the eight this year?
I definitely think the Panthers will do it. They've somehow, well, not somehow, but Ivan Cleary's finally got them playing in the manner that he wants them to play. I think they're playing with a great consistency. Luke Walsh is doing a great job for them, leading them around the park for a guy who's unwanted. I think they'll make it and they'll do it pretty comfortably.
Pete, do you agree?
No, I think they'll just miss out on the eight. I think they've had a hell of a, once again, a bit like the Warriors actually, a turnaround. Like a few people were predicting this team to finish last this year, and obviously Ivan Cleary and the big Gus Gould have got them going in the right direction. Once again, I don't think they're quite there. They've got a bit of a look, to use horse racing parlance, to be on me next time about them this year. I think this is very much a building year for them. I think they would just miss out on the eight.
Yeah, then another team that's going to have to beat teams around them on the ladder to make it. I think they'll get in. I think that the draw is favourable enough. They've got teams like the Knights at home, the Roosters at home. They might be able to jag one there. The Cowboys also at home. So there's some winnable games there for them leading in, and I think they'll just sneak into eighth spot. The Gold Coast Titans, well, they've been having a pretty good year, but they're starting to fall away. Pete, can they still get it back on track and make the eight?
No, I don't think so. Lauded players like Aiden Caesar there for this team, and rightly so. He's had a great year. However, when they have some injuries, they just seem to really lose their way big time.
Yeah.
I just don't think they've quite got the depth, and also they seem to, when the big games are on, like against Brisbane earlier this year, it just doesn't seem to go right for them. They've got some good players there, don't get me wrong, with Nate Miles and so on, but yeah, I just don't think they'll quite make it either. I think they'll just also just miss out.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you there. Pretty tough run home for them. They've got the Eagles this week. That's going to be a big game for them. Then the Rabbitohs. Admittedly, it's at home, but that's not an easy game. And they lose those two, and suddenly they are on the outside looking in. Tigers MS, how do you think Gold Coast will end up?
Yeah, look, I don't think Titans are going to make it. I think the wheels are falling off as we speak. And, yeah, I think they'll crash and burn for the rest of the season, actually.
And probably the team that's least likely to make it there, perched on 16 points, are the West Tigers. Tigers MS, is there any miracle offing 2005-esque this year?
Well, who knows? They're going to have to win every game, though. If they do, then they deserve to be in there. I just can't see it happening, unfortunately, for them.
Yeah, I guess it all starts this week at home, but like you say, they'd have to pretty much win every... They could probably lose one, but that's about it. They've got the Seagulls at Campbelltown next Monday night, so... even if they win Friday, that could be the definite decider for them. Pete, anything happening there for the West Tigers?
No, I think they've left it a fraction too late, the West Tigers. Yeah, they've sort of turned it around a bit after their big loss against the Bunnies, but and put together some decent wins. They've won against Melbourne and the one against the Cowboys. But no, not for mine. They've just left it a little bit too late to make the eight, I'm afraid.
Yes, and we need to keep moving along. This is, of course, NRL Live Supercoach. You can download the podcast at www.paulygsports.com or follow us on Twitter at @PaulyGSports or at TigersMS78 and flick us a like on Facebook, Paulie G Sports, and you get all your Supercoach information right here. And let's go through it right now for this week. Starting with the Friday night game, of course, West Tigers, that team aforementioned versus the Warriors. Well, both teams leak Supercoach points, but neither are particularly good at scoring them, so the two sides could cancel each other out. If you're looking for an edge, well, the Tigers give up more points to fullbacks and centre wingers than any other team, while the Warriors are second worst to halfbacks. So we could expect big scoring from recent high flyer Glenn Fisahi and also Conrad Harrell. Benji Marshall may finally break the shackles now his future is more clear. Also, looking at the barometer, David Nofalama and Tim Simona is a West best performers from Liam Fulton and Joel Reddy, while the Warriors, it is Conrad Harrell and Elijah Taylor. Perhaps Leichhardt Oval gives the Tigers the edge. Tigers MS, I will pick West Tigers here.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to pick the Tigers due to the fact that what's happened this week. I mean, it may be a cleansing thing for them. It may not be. You're just not going to know. But just basing it on the form that the Warriors have shown compared to the form that the Tigers have shown most recently, I don't think that the Tigers can do it. However, if they were going to beat the Warriors, then Leichhardt would be the place to do it. They haven't lost there this year.
Pete, can Leichhardt Oval bring West Tigers fans some joy?
I think this will be a good, very good game of footy. And if it's raining again, like maybe the Melbourne game was there a few weeks ago, it might be really to the Tigers, to the young Tigers' advantage. However, as we've just said, the Warriors, if they're serious about making the eight this year, then they need to win this game, and I think they will. And I have to feel for either of the young Tigers wingers because Big Manu is back on the wing this week. So up against Vatavai, you know, what a terrifying thing in your first early season of your career to come up against him. But yeah, I think the Warriors will get up looking a bit more settled, a bit more together than the Tigers.
It'll be a good test for those young wingers, of course. Saturday footy, Raiders v the Eels at 5:30 down in Canberra. Well, Raiders 13th overall scoring Supercoach points and 5th worst letting them in. However, the Eagles are last in both categories. So let's say the game's in Canberra. It's going to be one-way traffic. Raiders best, Sean Fenson by a long way. Josh Papali, who's backing up with Origin duty, and then Reece Robinson, who's back on the wing with Anthony Milford at fullback. Now, Milford is hot right now. He averages almost 15 points higher than his season average, and seeing he's now broken into the starting lineup, we expect him to keep moving on up. For the Eels, Tim Manor is proving their most consistent performer, but look, unless you've got a cheapie in there, winger Semi Radraja or Braden Williami, you should stay away from the Eels this week. Maybe Willy Tonga on a watch list with that appealing price at $141,100. Canberra all the way for mine. Pete, surely you'd agree.
Absolutely. Canberra, though, don't want to relax. They want to try and pick up their for and against on this match. Point one. Point two, even the chief executive of Parramatta has deserted them. They've gone through another one. Ken Edwards has announced that he's leaving the club, apparently of mutual agreement, but now the Raiders by 50.
Yeah, and we'll have to talk a bit more about the Eels in upcoming weeks because it just doesn't get any better and easier for them, does it, Tigers MS?
No, it doesn't, and it's not going to this week. By the looks of things, Raiders normally do a job on Parramatta regardless of how they're travelling at home. And right. When the Eels are travelling bad, the Raiders, the Raiders will do a job on them. As you were saying before, just pretty much play a lot of the Canberra backs. And, you'll rack up some points.
The other Saturday game looks like it'll be a lot better matchup for neutral observers. They may be coming off a bye, but nothing suggests the Roosters will be any easier to score Supercoach points off or stop them this week. Look, they're first overall in stopping points and second in scoring them. Sonny Bill Williams has been named, which is a relief for his owners, but just keep an eye out until kickoff because there may still be an issue with his hamstring. The Sharks are right on average in Supercoach points, scoring and stopping. They tend to play it up the middle, so probably the opposing team's backs are more likely. Let's say Roger Tavares-Sheck, James Maloney and Sean Kenny-Dow are the best bets this week. And just like we do say for each game, Tigers MS, just keep an eye on the Origin guys backing up. I think Andrew Fifita's a must play as long as he backs up. And obviously Todd Carney is red hot. Michael Gordon perhaps, but pretty much more Roosters, less Sharks, I guess.
Yeah, I think for the Sharks, the one guy who is going about his work pretty quietly, and his decent price is Bakuya.
Yes.
He's been putting up some good points of late. He had 70 last week.
Yeah, with the Wade Graham injury.
I think even the week before he had another 70 put in there, so he's not too bad there. As for the game, I think Cronulla will do the job over a probably origin-weary Roosters side.
Wow, a bit of an upset there. I'm going to stick with the Roosters type. Pete, can you break that deadlock?
Certainly this game could well be very heavily State of Origin affected, particularly as the Roosters now got another representative in there in young Boyd Cordner, great selection from New South Wales. I can't see anything but a Roosters victory in this one. They have been absolutely clinical in some of the matches we've seen this year, the way they put away, particularly put away Manly a couple of weeks ago and then the lacklustre Dragons. But no, the Roosters for mine.
Panthers v the Knights on Sunday footy. The Panthers are the better team at scoring Supercoach points. Look, both are in the top half and stopping them. I think in the end, home ground advantage might be critical. The Knights have Darius Boyd and James McManus backing up from Origin. It may have an impact. Let's look a little closer at the positions. Panthers continue to leak points to 5-8. The worst in the comp this, Jared Mullen might be a surprise packet this week. The Knights are fairly consistent across the park, perhaps a little weak against front row forwards. Kevin Kingston has been extremely good in recent weeks. Him and his backup, James Seguiera, are both must-plays, as is David Simmons, who's now the best player in both fullback and centre wingers positions. I'm going to tip the Panthers. Jeez, it's a tough one for me, but Pete, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Home ground advantage sort of splits them for me as well in a clutch one. And keep an eye on that talented Penrith fullback, Matt Moylan, great young find for them this year.
Tigers MS, anything you can add from a Supercoach perspective?
Lewis Brown is starting this week, so I think if you've got him in your side or you're thinking you need a second row somewhere, I think he is a great buy.
He plays two positions, so centre-winger as well, if you need it.
And I also think the Panthers will win.
Seagulls v the Titans is the 3 o'clock game, a hugely important game for the Titans. They are resting Greg Bird and Nate Miles. Look, it's hard to see anything less than a Manly win here for mine. They're the second toughest to score off from a Supercoach perspective. So probably rest most of your Gold Coast players. Must be said, however, the Titans did upset the Eagles last time the two played at Brookvale last year. Manly do have their outside backs in a rich vein of form, so pretty much you can play any and all of the above, Brett Stewart, George Tafua, Jamie Lyon this week. And since Jamal Idris has departed through injury for Gold Coast, they have dropped significantly in stopping Supercoach points, particularly in the back line. Tigers MS, anything else to add there?
Yeah, look, play your Manly. Play Manly 1-5. Because, they're just going to put on a lot of points, I feel. At the Gold Coast back line, it's not that experienced. And, I think Jamie Lyon may well cut him up out wide.
Pete, any chance for Gold Coast here?
It's funny. I remember thinking you were crazy tipping the Gold Coast last year in this match, and they beat them, and beat them quite well, I think.
Yeah.
But that was, I would suggest, a full-strength Gold Coast team. This team without Idris. I noticed that Nate Miles hasn't been named, which I find interesting. But I would suggest that, yeah, Manly should win this one quite convincingly. I would suggest that if they don't, the two of you will probably give one of the more entertaining press conferences of the year.
Rabbitohs and the Dragons. Pete, your team, the Dragons, it doesn't get any easier for them on Monday night footy. What hope are they, if any? They have named a new 5'8 in Adam Quinlan.
The good news is that Matt Cooper is back out in the centres, so hopefully our defence out there will improve quite significantly. Chase Stanley is actually back at the centres where it belongs. Quinlan at 5'8, they've only seen him at fullback, but I know he has played 5'8 in the lower grades. But gee, they're up against an awesome South Sydney team. I tipped this team to win the premiership at the beginning of this year, and nothing I've seen this year has changed my mind. My only hope, one of my fellow Dragon supporters said, is that maybe they might rest a few players based Origin. I'll tip the Dragons only on heart and for a massive upset, but realistically, you'd tip South by a mile.
They're not even that affected by Origin, South. Only Greg Inglis there and Chris McQueen, of course. Just can't take a trick, can the teams playing South, that is. Look, the Rabbitohs are third toughest to score off in Supercoach. Dragons are fifth easiest. The Souths are also third highest in scoring. Dragons are ninth. So we mentioned Quinlan. He could be a good roughie at 87.5. But realistically, it's South players all the way. John Sutton, Adam Reynolds are the best in their respective positions at 5'8 and halfback. So if you can afford them, get them both in your team for the home stretch. Isaac Luke is also in good form. While Chris McQueen has been red hot since being picked for Origin, and at $185,600 is an absolute steal. I'm picking the Rabbitohs, Tigers MS. Any different to me?
No, look, the Rabbitohs should win this game. If they don't, then the Dragons have done a great job in beating them. George Burgess, is this his first game back since his club suspension?
I think the second one.
Second, is it? Okay. If you don't have him, or if you got rid of him, get him back again, because I think they're going to ramp up for the finals from about now till the end of the year. That's pretty much it. All I got.
And we'll put all the picks online, of course, at www.paulygsports.com. If you're new to the show, every week we'd like to do a world of sport, something weird, wild and wacky from the world of sport. Of course, at the end of our show, Tigers MS has got something for us this week. What is it, mate?
It's something that I think, well, if you're old enough to remember the X-Files, it's something that Mulder and Scully would have investigated. This is about a New York Knicks star, Baron Davis. Now, he was talking to the hip hop website West Coast Riders about a recent trip that he took from Vegas to Los Angeles. He was driving late at night through the California desert, and he said, "I see this light," and he thinks it's a big ass truck, and he says, "Actually, this is going to be, you know, I'm going to crash into this truck," but he's driving and driving, and the next thing you know, there's this steel thing and crazy-looking people, half-human, half-ugly-looking mofos. They were poking me on the nose, looking at my eyes, and they had my hands tied. And the next thing you know, I was in Montebello, dude, burning rubber on the way back to L.A. at 4 o'clock in the morning. Davis has been sidelined with a serious injury since May 2012, which I think must be concussion. This is my favourite part of the story, though. He said he was so shaken up by the experience, he had to go to a nearby In-N-Out Burger restaurant to calm down. It's so good. That's one of the best stories I've ever heard.
That's one of the best world of sports in our 2 years of this show.
Sure, Tigers are best.
I don't know. I just love his normally people are, I'm not sure if you guys have seen the movie Communion at all, about an alien abduction. They're not really described as half human, half ugly looking mofos, except perhaps if it was the Predator.
Oh, Tigers MS, you have outdone yourself. Well done. That is the end of the broadcast and the podcast, I should say, for another week. But we will be back bigger and better next week. We'll wrap up all of Origin. Perhaps by now you know the result. We recorded this the day before, so we don't. Hoping for a Blues victory, let's face it. But we just hope overall for a great game. We'll talk about it all, of course, next week and give all the Supercoach information. Back the final week without buys, guys, so we're going to get back to full rounds as of next week too. Pete, thank you so much for tonight.
Thank you on Go the Blues.
We'll see you next week. Tigers MS, we'll see you next week too.
You will, you will.
That is it for NRL Live. Make sure you download the podcast at www.paulygsports.com or follow us on Twitter at Paulie G Sports or at Tigers MS 78. Bye for now.